This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Power-sharing talks have begun in Germany on how to govern Afghanistan now that the Taliban has been defeated in most of the country. The UN-sponsored negotiations are designed to prepare the way for an interim government and a security force. In Afghanistan, U.S. Marines work through the night to secure their newly captured airbase south of Kandahar. The general in charge of the task force declared the Marines now own a piece of Afghanistan. Their presence adds muscle to the U.S. campaign against Osama bin Laden and the Taliban, now in its eighth week. The presence of so many ground troops also carries added risk. NPR's Scott Horsley reports from the Pentagon.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld stresses the Marines are not an occupying force in Afghanistan. They number only in the hundreds, not thousands. Their number is growing, though, as helicopters and transport planes ferry additional troops and equipment from ships 400 miles away in the Arabian Sea. Rumsfeld won't say publicly just what the Marines' mission is or how many more might be coming.
Marines are in to establish a forward operating base. The question as to what else might that base be used for is an open question which none of us have discussed and don't intend to.
The arrival of the Marines clearly signals a new phase in the war against Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters, though. As a commander told Marines setting off from the USS Peleliu, they picked this fight. You're going to finish it. The Marines in Afghanistan belong to the 15th and 26th Marine Expeditionary Units. Each unit, called a MEU, is a self-contained fighting force with its own infantry, aircraft, even its own commandos. Military writer and former Marine Captain David Morris suspects those troops will be used to go after Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders hiding in the Kandahar area.
The MEU is really a classic organized lightning raid force, so more than likely what they're trying to do is set that airfield up as a base of operations to strike at Kandahar once they have good intelligence.
Military analyst Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution says the Expeditionary Marines are well equipped to do that, with just enough armor and manpower to protect themselves and still be able to attack quickly. O'Hanlon applauds the decision to send in the Marines, but warns they do face a dedicated and dangerous enemy in the remaining Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters.
Best analogy that I could think of would be some of the raids that we conducted against the Japanese-held Pacific Islands in World War II. I really think that's the kind of combat you have to be braced for. It's going to be some real fighting and some real ground forces, and it's going to involve some real casualties to the American side.
Secretary Rumsfeld acknowledges that Afghanistan's remaining fighters are unlikely to surrender quietly. He says that's especially true of the Taliban leader, Mullah Mohammed Omar.
From everything I've read about him, he's a rather determined, dead-ender type. You know, it could happen. He could be cash. Everyone has an opportunity to surrender. Nobody wants to kill somebody who's surrendering, but he just doesn't feel to me like the surrendering type.
Some of the newly landed Marines got a taste of combat almost immediately yesterday when a line of tanks and armored personnel carriers was spotted near the airfield they just occupied. Marines watched from helicopter gunships as Navy jets attacked the convoy. Even as the ground war heats up, diplomats are assembling in Germany to discuss the post-war future of Afghanistan. Representatives of the Northern Alliance, the Exiled King, and two groups of ethnic Pashtuns open talks today on forming a post-Taliban government. Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington says it may be unrealistic to demand a strong, multi-ethnic central government right away. He says a better goal might be a government that allows each of the ethnic groups some autonomy in its own region, while providing security and stability for the whole country.
I think we need to be very careful about trying to indulge in nation-building on Western terms. The issue is to evolve a state on Afghan terms for all of the Afghans, not to try to clone a Western model into Central Asia.
The United States is hoping the promise of billions of dollars worth of aid to rebuild their country will encourage the various Afghan factions to work together. It's going to take a lot of carrots, Cordesman says. At this point, Afghanistan doesn't need any more sticks. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.